The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Believe it or not, it's the middle of the month, February 15th, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. Also, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Don't forget about Steven Santangelo, who's on here monthly. In fact, I believe he's on this week. Unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. Contact Steven at primalcreations@aol.com or on Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. Grasslandbeef.com, another, I've known John Wood probably 15 years, long before we even came up with the show. He's also known as U.S. Wellness Meats. You know, the benefits of CLA and the omega-3s are, like, off the chart. It's grass-fed and grass-finished, which you got to ask when you go into any of these places. A lot of the grass-fed beef is not grass-finished, so check that out. That's just a tip. And also ask them if they feed the cattle soy. And people are going to be like, no way. Yeah, way, because I ask it all the time, and I piss people off big time if they do it. But it's important. Find out about these things. That's going to even reflect on what we're going to be talking about today. He's also got grass-fed lamb and bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. So go out and see John. PlanOfYourWorkouts.com. That's our friend Jason Fulner. This is a workout logbook. You can get an Amazon Prime 2 for $5, no shipping. It's 8x6. It's a great way to track everything you're doing. I have one. And the nice thing about this, after the 24th workout, there's a section to track progress and set new goals. Jason's a Marine. He listens to Motivation and Muscle in his shed when he lifts. That's awesome. StrongerGrip.com. They've been making gear for 10 years. They also have made strength gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, and trophies for, as seen on ESPN. They've been featured in Men's Health magazine, and they've made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of us, guys, gals out there. And remember this is big. This is real big. We're running a contest right now to win the exact same hammer Ryan built for FBC. Now, this is a monster hammer. It's 25 pounds empty. You can put 15 in the handle, but it holds a total of 83 pounds a shot. And here's the deal. Send us your best video. I don't care what it is you do. You can moss, you can arm wrestle, you can strongman, I don't care. Whatever, you know, there's nothing here that says whatever you do is not important. Upload that to YouTube. On the subject line, put FBC and Stronger Grip Dash with whatever the lift is. Go down the box below if you'd like to explain it in more detail. But please leave your email address. If you do not leave an address, an email address, I have no way to get a hold of you. All right? That means we go to the next one. And if you're the winner, I don't care if you're on the show or not, you get to come on Motivation and Muscle with me, and we'll have a blast talking all about it. We'll get Ryan involved too. So go out, do that, you know, $350 hammer for free. Do it. Do it, do it, do it. All right. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. That's a free ebook. Just give us your email address and away we go. Strength times power equals success. The winner's circle. Those are the two biggest pieces I have right now. That's out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. And I got to tell you, both of them will change your life. Everything on here I've done. Especially strength times power. Dennis lost 43 pounds on that program alone. I do that all in it. It's all shot in HD. I narrate it. Dennis does everything. The winner's circle is huge. That's the higher-end product, but that's 12 modules where I talk. And if you like how I talk on the show, you're going to love that. And I'm telling you right now, there's nothing on that audio there that you can't use. So no matter what level you're at, you can use it. If you don't know, contact me at FiorelloBarbell@nicap.rr.com, and I'll walk you through anything and help you. I don't care. I'll help you with anything. Also, too, sponsorship is gigantic here. This is a big show to run every month. For right now, it's still $100. You can come on 5 to 15 shows a week. You know, like I said, be part of our millions of listeners. And this goes big because if anybody has not heard us before, FBC and M&M is dedicated to my brother Jimmy, who died of muscular dystrophy, who got a common cold, and died in pneumonia. Now, this is where the $30 comes off for MDA, and I'm sure in the spring we'll have something new. But right now, it's very cold in the Northeast. I trained yesterday. I believe it was 25 below. I had no heat. I could not get the heater to work yesterday. I even was going to succumb to heat. I trained out. I think my fingertips are still cold, but I loved it, man. I massacred everything out there. It makes you, because you have to work and work diligently and hard. So come on aboard with us. Be part of my family for 25 years. I promise you it'll be the best experience you've ever had. Well, today, before I bring this gentleman, I got to say two things, and I've been really drumming this. And we got Mike Gillette on today, and I'm sure Mike is going to definitely dig what I'm saying here. Zig Ziglar, who's one of my favorites as far as motivation goes, if you think you can or think you can't, you're right. And I came up with this, like I come up with a lot of things, and these have always been very important to me. Trust, loyalty, they're important. Think about those two things, and we're going to start. Before I bring Mike in, I want to give you a little background on Mike. Obviously, if you're accustomed to hearing about us, he's an Army paratrooper, SWAT commander. He's been a bodyguard for Fortune 500 executives, and he's a record-breaking, in my opinion, motivational strongman, and he's a writer and author. And he's also a guy, if you haven't read the book, go out and get Mind Boss. I sent people out to him. I believe Russell Furr got it, and I think Brian, I can't think of Brian's last name. Brian ordered it, too, because he had asked me what would you recommend for a book? I said, go out and get Mike's book. So, Mike, welcome to Motivation Muscle, sir.
Hey, thanks, Eric. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Give everybody some background on you, and we're going to talk about Men Wanted. And when Mike gets done giving his bio, I'm going to tell you why I went to Mike with this. So take it away, sir.
All right. My physical culture journey, if you will, since that's where I think most of your men and women who listen to the show are all about. I really started looking at training in a serious way when I was young and was preparing to leave for active duty military service. And prior to that time in my life, I had never really been a physical person. So as a result of that, Eric, physical training really became linked in my mind to making myself a new, better version of myself. It sort of became linked to a calling, you know, a vocational yep. calling in this case. So as I started to, you know, embrace and challenge myself physically, that part of myself was really connected and would continue to be connected to, you know, sort of who I was in the world. What's my role in the world? It wasn't something that was necessarily recreational. And I, as you alluded to earlier, spent a couple of years in active duty in the Army. I was a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division. I had actually designs on a career in the military, and at the end of my enlistment, I was qualified for an ROTC scholarship, and I started pursuing that. You know, my intent was to become a commissioned officer, and I graduated from college, reconnect with active military service, and jump out of airplanes for the rest of my days. While I was in college, I was involved in a climbing accident that broke my back, my ankles, and I was actually discharged from the military while sitting in a back brace, you know, in a wheelchair. And at that time, it was absolutely certain I'd never run again. I'd never jump out of airplanes again. I'd not be a physical person again. And that was not a prognosis that really worked for me. So I spent several years working my way back to the point where I could be a legitimate contender in the field of law enforcement. And I pursued that, and I was involved in law enforcement for about a dozen years. And during that time, I was able to be exposed to the role of training, as in training other people. I started getting sent to instructor credentialing schools in various topics. And I found that I had an aptitude for training. I found I had a keen interest in that, and ultimately became, at the time, perhaps the most credentialed tactical training instructor in the United States, with 25 or 26 different instructional specialties within the whole use of force realm. And that aspect of my professional development started taking me further and further away from the day job. And that's when I left law enforcement in 2001, and I became involved in training full time from that point forward. 9/11 happened shortly thereafter, and I had the opportunity to become involved in some very large scale, multi-million dollar training projects that were basically created in response to how the world looked to people after 9/11. And that led to work with a variety of security contractors and training entities, leading me to, in 2006 through 2011, sort of the last phase of that part of my life, which was working for a private sector company that provided training and executive protection services for clients that were primarily from the tech industry. That's the time period of my bodyguard days that you referred to. And it was interesting work, challenging work. I worked with very talented, very smart operators. But the problem for me within that, working in that realm, is that it's a very isolated profession. You travel all the time. You don't see a lot of people. You sort of spend your time orbiting the client. And there were still things that I wanted to do, you know, in the training realm for myself. And also, I wanted to take a lot of what I'd learned in the previous several decades and share that with other people. So I stepped away from all of that in 2012 and started doing what I continue to do to this day, which is coach and speak and write and basically work with people in a variety of areas. Oftentimes athletes, but performers, business people, people who just want to become better versions of themselves, tougher versions of themselves, in whatever that means to them. You know, does that mean that they want to get physically stronger? Does it mean they want to get mentally stronger? D, all of the above. That's the bandwidth that I occupy presently.
That's a nice bandwidth. You know, we've talked about it a little bit. We're going to have to do on a future show, especially with the accident as far as with your back and the ankles and everything. We've never really talked about that. I mean, if you're comfortable with it, I think we're going to have to do a show down the road, because when you were talking about that, I was sitting here thinking, man, just the ability mentally to be able to come back from something like that. Let's forget about what you're doing today in 16, all right? Which I don't mean in a disrespectful way either. I mean it like it's extraordinary what you have accomplished and what you're doing today, all right? But if you'd like some time, I'd really like to go after that and talk about that, if you would, Mike.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we'll think about that on a future show coming up. But Mike got
we have
me.
Other fish to fry in the meantime, right, Eric?
We're going to fry today, too. Mike had put up yesterday about with Valentine's Day and looking through the Hallmark cards. And, you know, that's a company that's been around forever. And I'm sure, like everything, we have to succumb to the lighter side of men, I'll call it. And I called this show Men Wanted because there's a lot going out there with men, and Dr. Wong and I especially have nailed this stuff on shows, and we get a killer amount of feedback, and it's all good. I've only had one person a little upset because he'd made some references to different groups of people, but unless this stuff is really off the scale, I'm not going to gag anybody on here. I decide what we're going to say, and I'm not out to hurt anybody. I want to tell everybody up front, but I'm going to be, and I know Mike will be, I'm very spirited and passionate about this. I'm a male, you know, and I don't like what's going on here. Mike, when you let's just start right out and give everybody a little bit. Now, obviously, you were looking at cards, and you were kind of like, well, was it like, what's going on here? What was your what did you think when you came away and started reading some of these cards?
Well, I think that it's important to understand that, you know, Hallmark stands alone. I mean, they are the Kleenex of their industry. You know, nobody occupies more of a presence in retail centers than the greeting card industry than Hallmark. And my guess is they have some very smart people that work for them. You know, they're good writers. They've got their finger on the pulse of the culture. And that's why I think this is interesting, because this isn't just happening accidentally. You know, if they're putting out cards that people aren't buying, you know, that affects the company. So they obviously need to speak to where people are at, you know, in a large sense, you know, mm-hmm. culturally. And I think they probably are. And as I was looking through Valentine cards the other day, you know, for my wife, and, you know, cards are generally, you know, in a couple of categories. There's, you know, humorous ones and yep. sincere ones. And I'm not a funny card guy, you know, yep. especially on Valentine's Day. That's not me. But at the same time, it's difficult to find a card that can mm-hmm. you know, convey how anyone feels about their significant other. So, you know, I always count on spending some time standing at that rack with all those other people shoulder to shoulder. And as I'm looking at these cards, Eric, and I mean, I'm like anybody, you know, if the outside of it looks kind of pretty, I'll pick it up and see what the inside says. So, yep. I'm looking around at the ones that catch my eye, and I'm opening these things up, and they're saying things along the lines of, I don't always share how I feel, or maybe I don't do this, or I know I can be a pain. All of these,
yep.
they're basically apologies.
Yep.
And they're apologies, in essence, Eric, for, you know, for being a male.
Yep.
You know, I'm just inadequate. You know, I am weak. I'm selfish. I'm this, I'm that. And it was so comprehensive, you know, sort of across the spectrum of all of these cards. It really just stuck out.
Yeah.
And I was so irritated by all of this that I ended up getting a humorous card, because it was yeah. the only thing that felt honest and, yep. and not weak.
Yep.
And, I mean, it was a goofy card. You know, it had a dog with a suit, you know, and tie on, and, you know, the details beyond that are kind of pointless. I mean,
yep.
you know, it's obviously going to be a silly card. But the what I took from looking through all of those cards is a reinforced sense of something that, I mean, you mentioned the book Mind Boss in your introduction.
Yep.
I actually write about something that I refer to as the gospel of low expectations. You know, I think that we societally are living in that world where expectations are low. I mean, look at the television programs, look at the sitcoms. How are the husbands and dads represented? Well, they're idiots.
Yep.
You know, they're clueless, they're buffoons, they're not men.
No.
You know, they're boys, and they're not even good examples of boys.
Yep.
It's a low expectation culture, and everything that's part of our culture is part of our culture. It reinforces, you know, the collective attitudes that people have, or they at least reinforce attitudes to the extent that they make it okay to feel this way, because there are all of these reinforcers of those attitudes. So, mm-hmm. so that was my adventure in the card shop, and I didn't like it.
No. And when I saw that yesterday, like my brain went ping, ping, ping. It was like, I've seen this stuff. You know, I'm not a big TV fan anyways, but I've watched even car commercials where I don't remember. It might have been a Hyundai commercial. And the wife is, of course, she's driving and calling her husband an idiot, all right? And then I've seen other commercials where, you know, the women are more dressed like the male, where they've got the jeans on and the big buckle and belt like a guy would have, and basically towing the guy around and telling him. And I'm like, you know, I got no problem with a strong woman. I love them. I mean, I wouldn't go out with any girl that didn't train, all right? But I'm going to tell you something right up front, Mike, and you know this from training all different athletes. I've met many of them and gone out with them. They might be tough, they think, but they're not. And there's breaks in their interiors and exteriors all over the place, and they go to pieces too, just like everybody else. There's a lot of pressure in society right now, I think, too. I don't care who you are, especially on a female side, where you've got to be as good as a male, you got to do things as well as a male. Well, if that's the case, there's no point of having – well, I know they want everything gender neutral anyways, and I'm not going to get into a lot of this, but this all is going to resonate to where I'm going to get to. You know, there's things women are better at in than men, and there's things men are better than women at, and I think that's a great way to be. I don't want to be with a girl – have a girlfriend that she and I are vying to see who's the alpha male. Okay. My personality is always going to be an alpha. That, you know, that's the way I am. That's the way I'm built. Like yesterday I was telling Mike, it had to be at least 20. I think it was colder than Saturday. They said it was anywhere from 20 to 40 below, but goddamn heater died on me. I was going to submit and succumb finally to a heater. Cause I was like, I don't want anything sticking to my throat, but guess what? It wouldn't fire. And I was like, okay, so what are we going to do here? We're going to pack up and go in? Nope. I hardly had anything on, all right? I had sweats. I had a light thermal shirt underneath my T-shirt with no sleeves, you know, cut off. And there I am out there, man, with my elbow pads on and my cons. And I'm like, you could see your breath from here to friggin' who knows where, New York City. And I went out there, and I just crushed every friggin' thing. And I was aching in places. And I was like, you know what? If everything blows out today, at least I went in and did it. That's how I look at it. And the way I look at it is this. You should not let anybody make you feel like you're less of a man, all right? This is what, you know, you look at little boys now. I mean, I can't believe the amount of kids alone. Not only are they in poor shape, all they're doing is texting. This isn't everybody, but I'm out there, too, in the mix, and I know what I see. And I'll tell you another thing, too. There was a commercial, I don't know if you saw it over Christmas, but, man, I could have put my foot through the TV screen every time I saw it. They were doing these Walmart commercials, and I don't know who the Joker was that was playing the organ, and anybody came in, he had some stupid song, and it, ridiculous, right? So this short, portly little white guy, he's got the, it looks like a woman's handbag on his shoulders. And the guy's singing a song, making fun of him. Look, he's got a purse. And the guy's like, no, it's a satchel. And I'm like, holy God. And he's got this goofy grin on him like he's full of something, right? And literally, you know, the guy's insulting him, and he's like smiling and walking away. I mean, you could have walked up and kicked him in the nuts. He wouldn't have done a damn thing. And that's how I see men portrayed today. Weaklings. They don't want strong, masculine men. You know, and that's not everybody. But the portrayal out in society right now is the weaker the better. And I hate to tell everybody out here, because anybody that's on this show with me is not weaker the better. Everybody here is strength. It's like that steel spine strength. I said to Mike yesterday, you know, when I hear stuff that, it's like having an oatmeal spine, all right? It's like, you know what? You don't have to be a bully. You don't have to shove people around. But by God, man, be an example. Be a standard for men out there. You know, open a door for a woman. If she doesn't like it, well, too bad, man. Then you can hand her the door and let her take it. Have manners. Conduct yourself properly. But when you walk into a room, man, you command that room. When words come out of your mouth, You don't talk like a gutter or a sewer. You talk with class. And if you have to act in a fashion where you have to impress upon somebody that, hey, this isn't the way to do it, or, hey, you're not going to put a thumb in my eye and get away with it, then do it. I'll give it to you, Mike. I'm getting too fired up, man.
Well, we'll go back to the first example. It was really cold and you were working out.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to this notion of men, you know, a real man, a good man, when I knew that this was going to be our topic, I spent a little bit of time on the internet, and I was fascinated by how the search results sort of stacked out. I searched for what is a real man, what is a good man, and even though we seem to be in a culture that, you know, is careening quickly towards this idea of, you know, gender fluidity or gender neutrality, however you choose to term it, at the end of the day, I don't really think that's where real people are at.
No.
Because there are far too many articles written for women about how to find a good man, articles written for males on how to be a good man, you know, how to be a real man. So even though some people may lead you to believe that those ideas are antiquated, I think they're still very much on people's mind, and perhaps even more so on people's mind because the standard bearers of what it means to be a good man are harder to come by.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not something that the culture seems to be valuing. So if you think about, I mean, in my case, I'm 53. So. Yeah. Popular culture looked a particular way when I was young. You know, movies had protagonists, television shows had protagonists that were a certain type of guy. And it's a large contrast to now. So for me as a kid, you know, my examples were very specific, and they were also very, very consistent. And it's a lot different now. Now, is one better than the other? That's not my problem to solve. It's just different. And, you know, we would be foolish to say otherwise. It's just different. Things change. So the you're working out when it's uncomfortable to do so. One of the things, you know, I have my own sort of ideas about what a real man is or what a good man is, you know, regardless of what the articles say. And one of the things that I will always say is that, you know, a man does what a man does. A man does what is important to the man. You know, training is who you are. And yeah, it's cold. It's uncomfortably cold, but you do what you do. You know, you don't do it when it's convenient. There's nothing convenient about what you do. There's nothing convenient about what I do. We just do it because we have a passion for it. And I think one of the great misconceptions about a real man or a traditional seeming man is that they are unfeeling people. I think a real man is a very is a person who's very much engaged with his emotions in terms of his passions, which is not to say that you know, they're overly emotional or overly demonstrative. I think a man takes care of business without a lot of fuss. But, you know, I'll speak about myself. I feel very strongly about my wife. I feel very strongly about my kids. And they know that. Strangers would know that if you saw me interact with them. There's nothing unmanly about those feelings. There's nothing unmanly about expressing those feelings. In fact, I would say that you're less of a man if you don't express that aspect of yourself. And that's the kind of person that ends up having to get these groveling Hallmark cards because they're so, you know, emotionally withdrawn and selfish and immature that they can't figure out how to engage with the world around them, let alone, you know, the people who should be most cared for within their sphere of influence. So the first thing you talked about, you know, the training, I just think that's a metaphor. Men do what men do. Men do what's important to them. I think there's nothing more attractive about than a man who has priorities and pursues those priorities. I don't think people are drawn to flat, uninteresting people.
No, I agree. And I'll go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
I think that's a big key right there is that aspect, you know, the passion that drives you. And I think one of the quality of life issues for men where they sort of go off the track is when they become disconnected from the passion that they have in life. And, you know, and you and I have conversations. We kind of get into relational aspects in a way that's probably unique to us within the, you know, the spectrum of other people who come on your show and talk about bending steel or, you know, picking up heavy things with one hand, which is still awesome. But before you express passion about those things, I think you really need to have a handle on who you are as a person and how you engage with the world around you. And I'll have another point about being chivalrous, as you started to say, but go ahead and bring us on.
No. We're only 30 minutes in this show, and this show's got me fired.
Bring us towards the house, not all the way home.
but the thing is, this is the thing when Mike and I do shows. There's such a good information exchange, et cetera, et cetera. And both Mike and I have done huge things with training and all that, and we bring it in. But this stuff's very important, man. I can't emphasize about the whole mental connection with everything. But you know something? Men, to me today, just don't know their place. I think, and I'm going to refer this back to kind of like what Mike and I do with this offbeat training. You know, obviously Mike trains gymnastics, and these girls are phenomenal when you see these things up on Facebook where it's unbelievable what he can do. But Mike and I, like a lot of people on this show, are kind of like outsiders. And if I'm wrong, Mike, correct me, because I don't want to you know, explain what you do if I'm wrong here. But I have a sense we've talked long enough about this. A lot of men don't engage physically in things anymore. You know, they'll always – and I understand there's pressures everywhere. You know, people dig big holes for themselves. They've got to work. Then I know just watching like my sisters, there's always something. If it's not skiing, if it's not piano, they're going like 24/7, all right? And, you know, I see my brother-in-law, too. He's a football coach, lifts, you know, he played semi-pro, the whole deal. But I see him, and half the time he just whooped. And, I mean, if that's the way life is engaging you all the time, you as a guy, and I'm just speaking as a guy. I know girls do all this, too, but we're talking about men here today. If you're not engaged in things that, as Mike says, you have passion with, if you don't have the drive anymore, and a lot of this, too, is testosterone. I'm not going to bullshit anybody. We know a lot of levels in men now is very, very low, whether it's your diet, whether it's chemicals, whatever it is. But I'm not going to even get into that. But there are other aspects of this. But I'm telling you right now, you're not engaged. And when you're not engaged, man, you're kind of walking around like in a circle. Your mind is soft. Your body's reflecting your mind. And you're like, okay, what do I do here? Now, when Mike's talking about, like, we kind of do things silently, you know, and men get it done. And, you know, Mike's got a great, great family and a wife that, you know, you don't see a lot of this stuff in today's world. When it gets tough, everybody cuts and runs, all right? That's not being a man. I mean, there are engagements that just don't work, and unfortunately they have to break off, and hopefully you don't have children too. But that's another thing. You know, I'll tell you something right now. I've talked about my grandmother before. She almost lived to 109. She was from Plattsburgh, but she was originally from Canada, and she was a little thing. And she was a nurse in Champlain Valley Hospital till she was 78 years old. 78, she was up on the floor working. This woman was, today, she is the woman that if I found a woman like that, I would marry her in a heartbeat. My admiration and love for this woman, it will never, nobody will ever touch it. There's none, because an example she was. And when Mike said that, you know, a man, and I know she's a female, but I want to give you my example, one of them. I used to see her do things, man, and never complain. And I know she had arthritis bad in her knees, and she would walk. She lived on a street called Oak Street, and if she didn't get a ride, which was very, was irregular to get on, she would walk to that hospital, man. I never heard her complain when she came down here. She loved her grandkids, but the most thing was this, I took from her, was this. She did things and never needed to get a pat on the back. Never, never. And I think that's what a man needs to do. You do the things that you feel need to be done. You act by your example. And if you're confident, and that's a big thing right now, self-confidence is down the drain, in my opinion, because all we're ever told, and I'm sure Mike can attest to this, is, well, why do you want to do this? You can get hurt. You know, if you do that, you know, well, maybe you'll fail, blah, blah, blah. So what is the incentive? And then you have your young sons and daughters coming up, and they're watching their father like this, or they're watching their mother belittle her husband all the time. What do you think, especially the daughters, are going to get from this? And you see this in a lot. I've seen it all over. I've dated women like that, you know. They act like their mothers, and that's not a good thing if the mother's there belittling and she's going to try that with me, because I'm not sticking around. I'm walking. I'm not going to even play that battle with anybody. So I think, for me, two big things. I need to be physically engaged, and I'm talking with weights, stones, whatever I'm into, with the business. I need that as a man, because that, to me, that is still shaping me. I'm far from being shaped, but I need that barbarian in me. If I don't have that, I don't know what would happen to me as a man. We've talked about this stuff is in your DNA. Well, this is in my DNA totally. I've said this before on shows. I have changed so much in 3 years almost. We've almost been up and active for three. And I've said before, and I'll say it because I'm not afraid to say it, and all of us should think about this, I'm no more the center of the universe. I've got two businesses depending on me. I've got other people depending on me. I want to go away and do some great things with stones this year. I need to create currency so I can make this business flourish and keep going. So these are the things that drive me as a man. Now, I had a teacher, and I'm going to come right back to you, Mike, in 1 second, is this. I've talked about Frank Klein before. He was one of my college teachers for all my business courses. I've got that /IT. Frank Klein was a big man, and he used to coach semi-pro football. He reminded me of a walrus with his mustache and everything. And he was a guy, was a man. He didn't bullshit around with anybody, boy. You didn't want to mess around with him. And I respected him. And I know he did a few of us from day one because we were all lifters. And, I mean, you'd see us walk in the room, and he knew right away. And I got engaged with him quickly, and he did the same with me. And I'll never forget him saying, and he liked to pick on people in front of class. And there were like, there'd be 50 people in that marketing class unless they ran out when he said, you got to stand up for a third of your grade and tell everybody the product you created or one that's already out there and sell it to us. And you'd hear the chairs moving, people flying out of the room, right? So he says to me one day, and he used to always do this, and say, Eric. And I'd be like, yes, sir. And he'd be like, I'm not going to embarrass you. And he goes, I know you can take it. And he goes, this is all a compliment. He said, if you take what you've done here with your weightlifting and you put that into your personal life and your business life, he says, you are going to be one successful individual. Well, it might have took me a few years, but I think his words are ringing true and we're on the way. But these are all things that shape me. People like that, you know, that drives a man. But the second instance, I'll say, I said the weight training. The second one is what you think about most is going to come your way. How and what you believe in about yourself. You know, public opinion is public opinion. If you're going to let that influence you, you're getting nowhere. You're going to be run of the mill. You're going to be ordinary. And I know for a lot of people, ordinary is okay. It's okay to go to a 9-to-5 job. It's okay to sit in your cubicle and bitch all day. You know, it's okay to go home and whatever it is you got to do, kids, wife, the whole thing. And then you're asleep in a chair. If that's okay for you, fine. But I want a little bit more than that. So, Mike, I'll send it back to you.
One of the things that you were alluding to a little bit earlier was holding a door.
Yep.
So let me just expand on that, because I think that there's something more there that I think is important. Because of the attitudes and expectations that are prevalent right now, exhibiting the qualities of a traditional man is not common and is not reinforced. And I personally think that one of, you know, you were talking about not being ordinary a moment ago.
Right.
I'm with you there. I think that ordinary, you know, is sort of the opposite of unique. And I think everyone needs to embrace what is unique about themselves. And if they don't have something, to identify something that could be unique about themselves and run with that. And I like people who do what they want. I like people who, maybe a little bit rebellious. And because that gets to not succumbing to fear, you know, and that's actually something I write about in Mind Boss. You know, what people are afraid of a lot of time is, you know, fear of visibility, you know, just fear of sticking out. And I like people who stick out because it's awesome to be that person. Not in a way that comes at the expense of other people, but, you know, just be you. And one of the ways that you can stick out and rebel and be kind of an outlier is to be polite.
Yeah.
Is to be nice to people. It is, and when I say nice, not in that mushy sort of I'm avoiding any sort of conflict kind of nice, but be kind and be respectful. You were talking about relationship examples a few minutes ago. And that's, I think, where a lot of us have problems, is because, you know, we perhaps grew up in situations where respect wasn't modeled effectively in the home. And of course, that really impacts our ability to form emotionally healthy relationships. And a real man has good relationships. You know, a real man is respectful. And you can change the word real man for good man, you know, whatever descriptor, you know, works for you. But being kind to other people and being kind to yourself with respect to respecting yourself, allowing yourself to be who you actually are, you know, whoever that may be, that's what makes a man or a woman. That's what makes a badass. You know, that's what makes an interesting person, you know, not just another cubicle drone.
Yeah. Well, you know it too. We'll let you finish your thought when you said that. Somebody that's really interesting. See, this is how I look at a girlfriend. I don't want somebody predictable. Okay. I don't want someone either that's just a pain in the ass and bitching at me all the time. What I'm saying is, you know, show me, you know, surprise me. You know, maybe you grab me and try to throw me to the floor. I don't care. The examples I'm giving is this. Just somebody that's a little bit electric, man, because I'm very electric all the time. And I think I wear people out a lot. You know, I mean, I have my down times too, but I like being happy. I like going out and thrashing stuff, and it thrashes me back. And, you know, and then some days, hey, I don't even want you around me. You know, I mean, look it. I don't run like most people do, and I'm sure you can identify with this, Mike. I'm a guy that is not going to camouflage things or hold back. I'm not going to try to hurt you intentionally either. That's not my objective. But I'd much rather you see what you've got in front of you right now than wait till we say I do, and a year down the road she's like, why did I get involved with this crazy ass? You know what I mean? So I think it makes for much more of a lightning style relationship. I like that. I like somebody that'll run across the room and just jump right into your arms and bear hug you, man. I like all those things. I think that's all part of like what I'm about. Just the ability to have a translation between each other, maybe no one even understands. And then second of all, when you're talking about, having manners, and we were talking about holding doors and stuff, you know, and I know you know this, but I'll say this to everybody is this. Think about when you met somebody that you never met before. Say there was a party or, you know, an anniversary or whatever you were invited to. And just think about whether it's you or somebody else that walked in the room and you knew right away just by the look in their eyes or the way they walked or stood that they commanded the whole audience there, that they were so good that you wanted to be around people. I've met people like that where they engaged me so much I'd sit there and talk to them for hours if they wanted to. I've been the same way where I could walk into a room and engage multiple people because lifting is not the only thing I know. And that usually is the icebreaker with everybody because people come right up and say, hey, do you lift? Or what do you do? Obviously, blah, blah, blah. Well, that turns from one thing into another. So, see, that calling card we have of whatever type of workouts you're doing, you're always going to look like you're doing something. And that's your icebreaker right there. I've had that with anybody and everybody. So, those are the two things I think to me that are very, very important. And I think with what we do especially is this. If we want to spread this word, if we want to keep people engaged, get more kids into this stuff, get more kids reading Mind Boss, get more kids listening to Motivation and Muscle, I think when you go somewhere, you have to keep that in mind. And, you know, there's a time for everything. I mean, I can let loose back here. I can let loose at certain places with friends or whatever. But when you're out somewhere in public, you know, I think it's good to be engaged. But I think also, too, unless you got a whole crowd like yourself, you kind of just keep it with whatever's going on at that point. And I think it gets you a hell of a lot further than just being some standoff guy that doesn't want to engage with people, because then the old stereotype fits. And the thing is, what I want to do is I want to take what I do, Mike does, everybody here, and say, hey, you know what? We have an alternative for you. You don't have to listen to the critics that you're not a man, or you got to carry a satchel over your shoulder, or you got to have a dumb grin and let people come up and just kick you in the slats as hard as they want and do nothing. All right? That's not a man. A man is somebody that can engage and be physically strong, could even be the guy that gets the door blown open if there's an incident in the building you're at, or the defender. You never know, but that's very important. And I got news for you. I know a lot of girls in their 30s and early 40s that are still good-looking that aren't married, and they can't understand why, all right? And a lot of that is attributed to the way you've treated men. You're good-looking. You figure you get away with it. Now you're getting a little older. The doors aren't getting knocked on like they were, and the phone isn't ringing. And now you're stunned because now you'd like to be somebody with somebody that gave a damn about you and didn't treat you like something you could throw away on a friggin' gutter. So go ahead, Mike. I just think as a man, I think women have overlooked a lot of things. The cool guy with all the illustrations on him and the gutter mouth and, you know, I don't care about you and I'll cheat on you or share you, you know, they get to a point where they just don't want that anymore if they ever did. So go ahead. Give me your opinion. Whatever you want to hit. Go ahead.
Okay.
That was a lot.
Last five minutes was a whirlwind, Eric. But the last thing that you're talking about, you know, sort of the relationship aspect, I think kind of gets back to a lot of people have been disappointed in relationships, and I'm going to say females in this instance, because I think there's been a fundamental misunderstanding about, males and manhood. And it is – the sort of the arrested development, you know, the perpetually adolescent male, you know, who keeps getting older but doesn't act it, that has done a lot of damage to other women because they simply don't because either, you know, it's cool or they just never had the tools to begin with. But, you know, it gets back to that respect issue. If you have respect for other people, you will not damage them. If you're a female and you have respect for yourself, you don't persist in situations that damage you. And I think we're not as good at understanding what that is as we used to be, because we live in an era where everything is fine. You know, if you want to make really bad self-destructive choices, well, that's your business. No one should judge you. Well, you know, maybe somebody should. You know, if you're screwing up, you need somebody in your life to say, hey, stop doing that. You know, that guy is destroying you. Don't put up with it. Right. You know, so there's that respect issue again. I mean, it's a fundamental thing. You mentioned something a little while back, and I'm going to loop back around. And I know that we're talking to a very select group of people, you know, very strong guys, very strong girls, and people who aspire to be that. But there may be a few other people out there that, you know, just somehow got pulled into the vortex of awesomeness. So for those people, I would want to say that you don't have to be lifting at the level of Eric Fiorillo to be a real man. It's awesome, but not everybody's cut out for that. And, you know, maybe a lot of time has passed and you're, even if you went at it real hard, you still wouldn't necessarily get there, but that's okay. I mean, granted, Motivation Muscle, we want to spread the gospel of physical culture. You know, we want people to be engaged with the physical side of themselves. But that can be in a way that is appropriate to the individual. You know, not everybody is going to be a superstar, but everybody can play. Everybody can touch what this is and how the struggle of it can change you and change you in very powerful ways. You mentioned my work with gymnasts.
Right.
I have at various times, because it was an unexpected thing for me to start getting involved with, and it was just about 4 years ago now. It always surprised me how rewarding I found that work. And I think at the end of the day, it's simply because I know how training changed me. I know how feeling strong changed me. And I've been around other males where that same transformation has taken place. Numerous instances of that. I want that for everybody. And in particular, I want that for girls. In my mind, a girl who feels strong grows up into a young woman who feels strong. And a person who feels strong doesn't settle. They don't put up with nonsense. They don't put up with disrespect. So many of the things that we're really talking about today, I think, can be mitigated by the perception of strength. Mm-hmm. So whether it's a male who perhaps hasn't discovered yet this part of themselves, hasn't connected with that physical part of themselves, that's what I want for, you know, males. But I also want that for females too. I want everyone to be able to feel a piece of what you and I feel, you know, what your other regular guests on this show feel, because it's life-changing. It's,
well, go ahead,
it's
Mike.
So sorry. Positive that, yes. To not have it would be a real loss. To not be able to touch it at least a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've said this before on shows. I have four nieces, and they range from 14 to 8, okay? And my big thing is, I mean, my brother-in-law is a strong – well, everybody, the men in my family and on Dan's side, I mean, his one brother was captain on Yale's football team, Tim. Dan's played semi. Dan's been an athlete his whole life. Both my brothers, you know, one box is a weightlifter. The other one's a weightlifter, the same way with me. And I'm not saying that's going to be any better than a regular guy. That's not my point here. And, you know, when you said before, you know, you don't have to lift like I do. And I agree with that totally. I've got friends that don't lift, to any degree I do. They're still good men. And I always say on the show, I don't care if you lift a 100-pound stone or a 450-pound stone. You're welcome here at my table with us. And I'm a big believer in that because you can grow people into whatever they want at that point. All they need is a little more self-confidence. Maybe that little word that says you can do it, does it, all right? But with the girls especially, they see strong men. They don't see men that are walking around half smashed all the time or throwing out four-letter words. I mean, once in a while we slip, you know, but that's rare. And I want those girls to be, we never know what could happen, all right? But they have such a base on them now with men, and they love their uncles and they, you know, their father, obviously. It's very important because, you know, a 14-year-old girl and a girl that's going to be 13, you know, they're getting their identity. Do they still want their uncle hugging them or their dad? You know, they start getting, and they still do. And I'm not going to ever let go of that if I don't have to. And even if it's for a few years where, you know, I know they're growing, we're always going to have a relationship when they get a little older. It's always going to be good. And I hope that is going to make them make the right choices and do the right things, because it's very easy today to get caught up in things that don't matter but can damage you permanently. Because I know many girls that either have had bad marriages or bad relationships, and they don't ever recover from them. And a lot of them get treated poorly, and they meet a guy that treats them good, and they don't want you around. That is the most blown out thought I could ever think of, that someone would like to revert back to the things that hurt them. So I'll leave it with this. Being a man, obviously, is just not about what we do. But boy, oh boy, the lessons you learn from the iron game can speak volumes for the rest of your life. But I will say this, you must buy into it. You must get knocked on your back a million times and be able to look up and get up. And you must learn how to formulate your mind. And this takes years and years of discovery. Now, you can go out and buy Mike's book. It's a killer book. And it'll help you in every which way. But you know what? You got to get out there, take that responsibility, and learn. I mean, like yesterday. Dangerous? Yep. Ice cold out there. Dangerous. But you know what? I wouldn't have gone back in for, if you laid $1 million in a wheelbarrow and said you can have this if you go back in the house and get warm, or you can go back in there and I walk down the driveway with the wheelbarrow, I'd say see you later. All right? So when you have that type of commitment and you have that type of robust hunger for things, how aren't you going to be a good man? You'll make your mistakes like all of us, but you know what? You'll rebound. You'll rebound, and you'll be better than ever. Mike, I'll leave you with that. Summarize anything you want. Take your time, and then give out your information. I'll give mine. If you'd hang on a line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm just going to sum up with a quote. It's from a pretty well-known book. This is King David as he was on his deathbed, and he called his son Solomon to his bedside, and these were his final instructions to Solomon. He said, "I am about to go the way of all the earth, so be strong and show yourself a man."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with that, I would encourage everyone listening to the show today to be strong and find a way to show yourself a man or a woman, if that is the case. Do the things that show strength. Be strong for other people, lift people up, and save some of yourself for yourself to be absolutely amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mike, whatever you want to do, I'll say this before whatever you're going to finish up with. I always say to Mike, and you probably hear us on the show, or I'll say to him offline, you know, another classic outstanding show. But when I say that, I think like everybody, the shows just keep improving. But one last thing too, be good to yourself. Be kind to yourself, because if you can't be kind to yourself, you're not going to be able to take care of anyone. And it's very important. Try not to put yourself down. Keep the negative self-talk. We all have it. I know it. You know, that's a fact of life. But if you can be kind to yourself and take good care of yourself, I believe, you know, as I say, the world is out there for you. Go after it. Go ahead, Mike, whatever you want to do.
All right. Well, I very much enjoyed our conversation. They're always very thought-provoking for me, and hopefully for everyone listening as well. Anyone who wants to connect with me can do so by going to MikeGillette.com, GILLETTE.com. That's where my blog posts live. That's where all of my social media channels can be found. Anyone who's interested in taking a look at MindBoss can find it at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Awesome. You got everything, Mike?
That's it.
Okay. So this is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn, sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docspreferred.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Steven Santangelo's Athlete's Choice. If you're looking for relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods, you know, contact Steven at primalcreations@aol.com. Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. Grasslandbeef.com, we already know. Big health benefits of CLA omega-3s. John Wood is an awesome guy. You get a hold of him, I'm telling you, what a wealth of knowledge. We're trying to get him on, too. I mean, he's so busy, but we'll get him again. The meat is all grass-fed and grass-finished, and he's also got grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. PlanOfYourWorkouts.com, that's a workout logbook, Jason Fulner. And don't forget, you can go out to Amazon Prime, get it for $5, no shipping. He's a great guy. Fourthly, whatever we're on, StrongerGrip.com. They made high-end gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling trophies, and you've seen the stuff on ESPN. They've also been featured in Men's Health magazine, and they've made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and all of us out there. I mean, check it out. And don't forget, you want to win that monster hammer that they made for me? All you got to do, I don't care what it is. Mike and I were talking about that. I don't care if you lift 100-pound stone. Send it in. Send it in. We're going to look at everything. So when you go out and upload your video to YouTube, put on the subject line FBC and Stronger Grip with a dash. Describe what it is. You can go down the box below. More detail, but do not forget, send your email address. And this contest ends on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. And all I can tell you is you're going to get a shot at coming on Motivation and Muscle. And I'm telling you right now, it's a blast to do this. If you haven't been on before, I'm telling you right now, you're going to love it. It's a lot of fun. So go out, do that, win a $350 hammer, load it to 83 pounds a shot, see what you can do. Go out to Fiorella Barbell Co., the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. All you got to do is drop your email in there. You're not going to get any spam. And here's a chance, once again, to commit and take action. Make yourself great, because everyone has greatness within them. On FiorellaBarbellCo.com, strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. I hit that in the beginning. Life-changing. I've done all this stuff. You're not getting an armchair quarterback here. And you'll see the stuff I'm up to now we're going to be putting out on film, especially with the new warm-ups I'm doing for the stone and everything. We do some pretty incredible things here. It's just I've never been a guy to toot my own horn about anything. I'm very quiet about it, but you're going to start seeing the full effects of what we're doing here. I want to do some stuff on Iceland, and I'm going to do some stuff I'm going to be putting out down the road. Bill Hinburn's been on me about this. I'm going to set up and build a whole thing of how you can build your own podcast show. What I've done, how I did it, I did this all on my own. And I'm going to teach you from step A through step Z and some. So that's going to be on the road. That's on the schedule. If there's a show you'd like Mike and I to do, Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com. And I also forgot sponsorship. Don't forget, you can get in here for $100 right now, 5 to 15 shows a week. $30 of that goes to MDA. And we were talking about manliness. My brother Jimmy was the greatest man I'll ever know. And he never even made it to manhood. But he showed a resolve when everything was stacked against him. There's another guy like my grandmother. Never felt sorry for himself. If you met Jimmy, he had a smile from ear to ear all the time. It's amazing when you can be dealt the worst of the worst, you think, and keep going. And like I said, it seems like a lifetime since we lost them. So go out, sponsorship, be part of my family of the millions of listeners. And Mike and everybody, I hope 25 years from now we're sitting here and saying, man, oh, man, did we make it? And that's the biggest thing. Solutions, make an income, and help the world and get out there and do something positive. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. I thank everybody for that. I'm just waiting. We're going to be out on Spotify. Blueberry will be distributing some of these shows. I'm just waiting for confirmation with things, but all the paperwork's in. That's 75 million people. We're going to be all over the place. We're out on Facebook at Fiorella Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. We're also out on Twitter at Fiorello Eric, and I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give your opinion, your voice, a little help. We talked about all that today with manliness. Your words are just important, man. Think about it before you open your trap. You could be creating the next who knows what. So think about that. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all you get that day. Just look at the people with all their heads down. Look them in the eyes. Most of them look like they're beaten down. Don't get that way. Help others, man. If you're going to go out and lift anything, you know, like I say, throw it, bend it, squat it, press it, pull it, you know. And obviously with stones, lift them and turn them into dust. And as a Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says, in blood red on each side, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow it. And we are millions and millions strong. As I say now all the time with everything I write just about, dominate and obliterate everything in your path and don't be afraid. Do it. And then next, obviously, I always say no one's going to clip our balls. And as Russell Furr said, who's a listener, has been on Motivation and Muscle, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. As I said, that was one of the nicest things anybody ever said to me and the show. We will say this till the day we sign off, Russell, and I thank you for that. Mike Gillette, as usual, what can I say? It's a pleasure and a privilege to have you on here, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. So for Mike Gillette, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. Mike will be on next month. Be a steward of strength. Go out and do something. Don't stand on the side of the road. We'll talk to you soon, and go tell a friend or two. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.